The label liberal is back in fashion this election year. In the past few weeks, Bob Dole has been casting President Clinton as a liberal, hiding behind conservative campaign promises. Commentator Catherine Kirsten says, when it comes to another favorite election year word, education, the tag liberal is a step in the right direction.
We often hear today that the primary aim of education should be to equip young people with world-class technical skills so they can compete successfully in the global economy. This is an important goal, but it is not sufficient. In fact, the best gift we can give our children is an education that prepares them not just for making a living, but for living wisely and well. What sort of education can do this? One that sounds quaint to modern ears, a classical liberal education. We tend to think of liberal education as a sort of academic hodgepodge that students get by default if they don't want to be veterinarians or civil engineers. But as the name suggests, a liberal education is one designed to liberate, to free the human mind and spirit. It aims to acquaint students with the full range of human possibility, to free them from the prejudices of their own time and place, to awaken them to questions of what is true, good, and beautiful, and to develop their moral imaginations by exposing them to the best that has been thought and said. Goals like this have always been difficult to accomplish, but they are especially elusive today. Why? In part, because our schools have become obsessed with relevance. We are afraid we will bore students unless we speak their language or address trendy social issues in ways that are consistent with the prevailing orthodoxy. A teacher once told me that she can't assign stories about King Arthur or Joan of Arc, characters who have inspired young people for generations. We've got to use books that will help kids with the problems they face today, she said, like peer pressure, divorce, and suicide. But our children are hardly the first to struggle with standing up to the crowd, to cope with the sometimes stormy relations between the sexes, or to wrestle with life's myriad temptations to self-destruction. The great human dilemmas are universal and date back to the dawn of history. Making relevance a top priority deprives our children of the insights that the past, undistorted by a contemporary prism, can shed on their most central experiences. How might we devise a liberal education for today's classrooms? First, instead of giving heavy emphasis to contemporary preoccupations, environmentalism, diversity, conflict resolution, we could unapologetically focus on providing students with a thorough grounding in literature, history, mathematics, and science. Our aim would be to give them something they don't have now, a coherent, integrated body of knowledge, a database to draw on in problem-solving of all kinds in the future. Second, rather than constantly asking students how they feel, as we do now, we could ask them to tell us what they think and teach them how to formulate clear arguments in support of their positions. As things stand now, the education we give our young people, though it may provide them with technical skills, too often leaves them speechless in the face of the greatest question they will ever confront: how ought I to live?
Catherine Kirsten is chair of the Center of the American Experiment in Minneapolis. She comes to us with help from Minnesota Public Radio.